Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
This morning, I want to kind of take you back. We're getting to that middle portion, I suppose, of the year. It is the months, the weeks, they're flying by very quickly. Would anybody agree with me on that? And at the beginning of the chapter 5 this morning, we kind of looked at Luke chapter 5, and I want you to go back with me to Luke chapter 5 this morning. I appreciated our Sunday school class because for me, I could see the parallel this morning that we were talking about there in Judges with Deborah and Barak, and how God moved and what was required of the people, and how God blessed them this morning. And so I'm thankful for the parallel, the confirmation that the Lord kind of given me through that this morning with the word. Again, I want to turn your attention first to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses together this morning there in, again, Luke chapter 5. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I think for some of us, again, this morning, that's a very familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar story in the Bible. And again, we kind of began this year by looking at that command that Christ gave in verse 4, where he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Again, that has kind of been our overall theme, if you will, for Life Christian Center for 2019. And just as this command required a response from Peter and his crew, I believe that it still requires a response from us individually and collectively today. How many knows we still have work to do? Amen? And God is calling us to those things. So this morning, I want to highlight just a few requirements, if you will, that I believe are clearly presented within this passage of Scripture that we must acknowledge and strive for as we launch out into the deep. And I don't want us to forget that. I feel like sometimes as, again, the weeks and the months pass, we can kind of forget where maybe God has been leading us and guiding us. And again, through multiple services, not just that which I'm preparing, but other people who have spoken on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights, it seems like everything has lined up to launch out and to let down our nets for a catch. How many believe that there is going to be a harvest of souls in the last days? Amen. And I believe that God is going to use us for that. And I don't want us to get in the middle of this year and get bogged down with other things and kind of let that die. So this morning, again, I want us to refocus on this launching out into the deep and letting down our nets. And I want to go over just a few requirements of what that will take for us this morning. Responding to such a command requires and really even probably demands of us this morning or from every participant effort. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, you're a participant, right?" I know that was a lot. You see, it requires effort. Look at your other neighbor and say, "Effort." If you only have one neighbor, look at the same neighbor. Say effort. You see, it takes effort to launch out and to break away from the shore. How many knows that if we stay where we are, we'll never get to where we need to be? Right? So it takes effort to break away from where we are, right? It takes effort to break away from the shore. It takes effort to launch out when your last attempt kind of left you empty-handed. Anybody ever had that moment? The unsuccessful moment? To where you felt like you launched out, you stepped out in faith, and then you feel like you came up empty-handed? You see, it takes effort to launch out when it seems illogical or even impossible. God, I just don't see how this is going to benefit anything. I don't see how you're going to make anything happen out of this. But you see, regardless of all of those things that we may feel or think or experience, effort is still required. Because in moments like that, I believe that we're tempted to give excuses. How many know excuses are really easy? And so in moments like that, I think we're tempted to give excuses before we ever even attempt to give effort. But we need to make sure that we're not giving excuses, that we're giving effort. And in reality, that's kind of exactly what Peter started to do. He started to go the excuse route before he started to go the effort route. And when we look back at scripture again in verse 5, he says, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." I don't think you understand where we have been. I don't think you understand how much we tried and it just didn't work. You see, but something began to move inside of Peter. Something began to shift. Something began to stir. Something inside of him said, no, in this moment, you need to put in a little bit of effort. Have you ever been there in a place in life where you really felt like it wasn't worth it, that it wasn't going to be worth the effort, but yet something said, no, dig in and dig deep. I think that's where Peter was. You see, effort requires a conscious exertion of power. It means you have to do it on purpose. You see, it's not an accidental attempt. It's a serious attempt. It's not just that. It's a strategic sum of work that is done to achieve a particular end or result. How many of you believe that we have been called to a greater purpose than ourselves? How many knows to fulfill that purpose, we're going to have to put in effort that is strategic? Amen? You see, whether you're launching out for the first time or whether you're launching out for the 500th time in your walk with the Lord, it will always require effort. Living for the Lord, serving the Lord, walking out your Christian faith will never be effortless. It should never be effortless. It will always require effort. Well, Pastor, you are really just nailing it today. Have you ever been putting that element of effort into something and you're like, all right, I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put the effort into it. I'm going to be strategic with this, only to experience or encounter what seems to be like worsening conditions or greater challenges? That happens a lot to me. I think it's just in my nature or something. I don't know. But you see, we face some things and we're like, man, I don't want to do this. Lord, I really don't want to step out. But all right, I'm going to do it. And as soon as we do, it feels like all the stuff hits the fan, proverbially speaking. And we're like, why did I not listen to myself? You see, I think that's where Peter and his crew were. They launched out as commanded. And then Christ says, hey, you know what? Go ahead and let your nets down for a catch. And I think that's where Peter almost started to maybe draw the line, if you will. Because again, Peter's initial response is, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. I'm not sure that you caught that. But you see, we've already done this process and it hasn't seemingly been working. You see, Pastor John, for the last 5 months, I've been trying to do this launch out thing like you've been talking about. I've been trying to do this marketplace ministry thing that you've been talking about. And I just got to be real honest with you. It's not really working. How much effort has really gone into what we're trying to do? You see, I think what Peter really wanted to say was, Jesus, you got to be kidding me. Anybody ever want to just tell the Lord that? You've got to be kidding me. You want me to do what, for who, when, where? No. Are you joking? Do you know that the last 16 times that I invited them to church that they said no? You've got to be kidding me. You see, Jesus, you don't understand. I'm super tired. I've been working real hard. You see, I don't really want to break away from the shore to begin with. This is my place of comfort. This is my place of easement. You see, Jesus, I was getting ready to go home and rest before you interrupted me with this tell somebody about Jesus feeling. You see, I don't know if you understood this, but against my better judgment, I kind of stepped out last time, but last time I got rejected. Now you want me to step out again and you want me to drop my net? And I've been coming up empty-handed for weeks, for months now? Are you kidding me? Anybody ever felt like that? We probably won't admit it this morning, but I've been there. You see, launching out requires effort, which oftentimes also becomes or morphs into a test of faith. Anybody ever felt like your faith's been tested? Even in the element of just launching out? Even in the element of just doing that marketplace ministry from day to day? You see, if we're not careful, we can begin to pull away because effort leads to a test of faith. And that test of faith becomes a greater challenge to us. You see, these tests of faith, I think, can come in all shapes and sizes for us this morning. But again, to go over all of them would be impossible. But you see, some of them are easy and others more difficult. And others, yet, maybe they seem impossible to pass. I want to give you an example of what I feel like is a really easy test of faith that we see in the Bible. So I want you to turn with me in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read verses 27 through 31. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. You see, this test, we could say, was a question and answer. It was pretty easy. Do you believe that I can do this? Yes, Lord. Boom, healed. Test passed. Those are awesome kind of tests, right? The ones where we know the answer to the question. How many like taking a test where you know the answer to the question? It helps. You see, those are easy tests, but then sometimes we get into those tests that are maybe hard, they're extreme, or we see them as impossible. And I think a good example of that is Abraham, and I'm gonna sum it up through Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 18. It says this, of whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Did you switch? I never saw it. Concluding that God was able to raise him up. No, wait, go wait. Is that the last one? Where's 18? Did we read 18? Oh, we did. Wow. You put in the effort, Pastor John. Put in the effort. Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself there. How many knows that if you were tested to give up your only child, that seems like an impossible test? That's a hard test. But again, we see that Abraham, despite the intensity and what seemed like the impossibility of that test, he willfully took his only son, the son of promise that he had, that God had given him at an age where it was illogical and really humanly impossible for him to even conceive and have a child. And so now he's having to take this ultimate test. You see, sometimes the tests are easy. Sometimes they're extremely hard. And I don't feel like Peter and his crew were at that impossible, extremely hard thing. I think they were just kind of somewhere in the middle. And maybe today that's where we're at. Maybe the test that we're taking doesn't feel easy, but also maybe it doesn't feel impossible. Maybe it's just somewhere right in the middle and we're just really not sure about this particular test of faith that we're experiencing in this moment. You see, sometimes we may find ourselves in that very moment or in a season where effort is required. And when we respond with effort, we are met with, again, that test of faith. We must not lose heart and declare by faith, just as Job did, "When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." You see, what we say when we're in the test matters. Because how many know that we can be hung by our tongue? The Bible tells us that life and death reside in our tongue. And if you're taking a test and you're speaking failure over your test, how many knows you're probably going to fail? But if we begin speaking life over those tests, how many knows we're probably going to pass the test? You see, and when we come out, Job said, "Man, I'm going to be as gold. I'm going to be refined. I'm going to have value." You see, that's what we need to be shooting for. For Peter, letting down their nets after a long, hard night of coming up empty-handed, it took effort, and in all reality, it was a true test of faith for Peter and his crew in that moment. And it was a test of faith, again, that had its own requirement, and that is obedience. You see, effort will lead us to a test of faith, but a test of faith will always require obedience. Look at your neighbor and say, obedience. Peter was exhausted. He was tempted to use excuses, but instead he put in the effort and approached this test of faith the best way that he knew how, and that was simply to just be obedient to Christ's command at this very moment. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Simply put, nothing complex at all in that statement, just direct obedience to a direct command. You see, sometimes I think it's that simple for us if we will allow it to be. We need to put in the effort. And when we're faced with that test of faith, we just simply need to obey what God is speaking in that moment. And everything's going to turn out okay. You see, we often, I think, overcomplicate obedience. Anybody ever overcomplicated obedience? You see, we get in that moment and we try to justify and excuse it away. "Well, this can't be what you mean, Lord. This can't be the right timing. This can't be the right place. This can't be the right person. This can't be the right ministry. This can't be the right moment." And we try to excuse those things and justify them away. We deem it too hard or too difficult. "Well, God, I'm ill-equipped. I'm unprepared." How many knows that if we are in him and he is in us, we're perfectly equipped and always prepared? Amen? You see, but none of that removes the need for or the requirement of obedience. There is something to be said for an individual who will love and serve the Lord through obedience. And I think what we often forget is that obedience becomes a foundation for greater things. Obedience becomes a foundation for greater things. You see, it's a foundation for wisdom and stability. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." You see, obedience will lead you to a place where you're operating from a foundation of wisdom and stability, so that when life comes to rock you and knock you down, what really happens is it just beats the living tar out of you, but you don't go anywhere. Anybody have the living tar ever beat out of you? You see, another thing that it does is this: it is the foundation for experiencing the manifest presence of God. And I gotta admit, I almost didn't even put this in, because I feel like we live in a church world today that we don't even believe that we can experience the manifest presence of God. I hesitated to put it in my notes this morning. And the Lord, he began to work on my heart this week. And he said, "My presence is just as real now as it has ever been. And I want to be with my people more now than I ever have before." He said, "The scripture says it, you repeat it." So this morning, we need to understand that obedience becomes a foundation for experiencing the manifest presence of God. I want you to look at John chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Can I tell you this morning that when we're acting in obedience to what God is telling us, that he will manifest his presence towards our individual lives? Manifest here denotes that Christ will exhibit or give evidence by action or power of the Holy Spirit so that it allows us to know and understand him more intimately. Can I tell you that's a reality for the Christian of 2019 today if we will take a hold of it? If we will live in obedience, we can experience his manifest presence. The Passion Translation renders that same verse this way: those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. I don't know about you, but I need his presence in my life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Amen. I don't want to miss out on that because I'm refused to be obedient to what God has required of me. You see, a third point of foundation that I want to mention this morning is that it is the foundation for blessing. And again, we look at blessing as, ooh, I got blessed. And how many knows that the Lord blesses us? Now, unfortunately for most, when we think of blessing, we immediately respond or think of the monetary blessing. But can I tell you that the blessings of God go far beyond monetary issues? And it's the ones that go beyond monetary issues that I really want to experience the most. You see, James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says this: but he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. Everybody say, an active doer who obeys. He will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. We got to remember that the blessing comes when we live a life of obedience. You see, Peter's obedience led him to encounter and experience Christ in a whole new way as the power of the Holy Spirit began to produce evidence that resulted in a supernatural blessing. Now, for them, that supernatural blessing resulted into an abundance of fish that took two ships to haul it in and still began to cause them to sink because of the massive amount of fish that were being caught in that particular draught. You see, for me, I'm not looking for fish, but I am looking for souls. I'm looking for people who need to come to know Jesus Christ, who need to be healed and transformed by his Holy Spirit and his power. You see, how many knows that every blessing isn't monetary? Sometimes blessing is household salvation. Sometimes blessing is your community experiencing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, amen? An awakening that we can't even begin to describe. Those are the blessings that I'm looking for and that I'm desiring from God, amen? You see, effort was met with a test of faith that required an act of obedience that produced a miraculous blessing. You see, yes, Peter's faith was tested, but in the end, because of his effort and obedience, his faith was honored. How many knows that God honors effort? God honors obedience. God honors the one who's willing to stand the test of faith that he puts before them. You see, there will be this moment. How it comes, when it comes, where it comes, what it looks like, all of that is up to God. But we need to be ready to put in the effort, to stand through the test of faith and respond to it through obedience so that we can experience the blessing, again, that he decides to pour out. How many knows if we got to pick the blessing, we'd pick the wrong thing? I'm glad that he determines the blessing. I'm glad that he determines the catch. Because if I was to do it, I guarantee you I would mess it up. I would sell myself short. Jim Rohn was quoted as saying this: for every disciplined effort, there is a multiple reward. For every disciplined effort, there is a multiple reward. Now, I have no idea if he's a Christian, if he's a believer, or if he just managed to say something really smart on accident. I have no idea. But you see, I believe that statement to be true, and that there is truth revealed in that, because again, effort will cause us to leave the shore, to leave the shallow Christian life behind, and to launch out into the deep of what God has available for us. Effort will cause our faith to be tested, and it will cause us to be stretched, but through that process, there will be a blessing of strengthening that happens in our spiritual growth. You see, effort will cause us to obey, which will cause us to encounter and experience and come to know God in a greater and more intimate way. How many knows that's a blessing? How many want to know God more now than you ever have before? How many of you want to experience him through his word, through the power of his Holy Spirit in a way that you never have? No, I'm pretty good, Pastor John. I think I've hit all of the highlights in the Christian career. I'm really just waiting for heaven. Glory. How many knows that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man? We can't even begin to fathom the blessings that he has lined up if we will put in the effort and be obedient. You see, I'm not just like Pastor Chase mentioned, I'm not satisfied. And it's not because I'm not content in the Lord. I'm not satisfied with where we are because I know God has provided more. And I want to put in the effort. I want to be obedient so that I can not just receive but experience. Because how many know sometimes the blessing isn't for us. Sometimes the blessing is for somebody else. But I want to put in the effort and be obedient so that I can witness the blessing in somebody else's life. Are we willing to do that? Because a lot of times we're only willing to put in the effort and be obedient if we know it blesses us. Ouch. Shouldn't have said that. I could tell that you were fixing to wrap up. You should have just wrapped up. You see, we have to make sure that what we're serving is not our kingdom, but his kingdom. And not us and our people, but his people. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. I think that the really amazing thing this morning, again, is that our blessing isn't going to look and smell like fish. You see, but rather this morning, I'm believing that when we launch out and we give that effort, we stand the test of faith, we act upon it with obedience. You see, I believe that that blessing is going to look more like souls being saved. Hearts being won for the kingdom of God. You see, I believe that it's going to look like people being transformed and living that Christ-like life. I believe it's going to look like people being healed, delivered, and set free. You see, I believe it's all going to transpire through the power of the Holy Spirit by the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe when it's all said and done, there will be no glory for Life Christian Center because all the glory is going to go to God. Amen? And that is what we should be seeking individually and collectively this morning in our own personal ways. You see, these questions this morning, questions like, where do we need to put in the effort? Lord, where do I need to put in the effort? God, where is my faith being tested this morning? Where do I need to act in obedience? You see, these questions we must answer because I believe that God longs to pour out supernatural blessings and abundance so that we can experience him in greater ways as we partner with him continually and intentionally as he draws a fallen world back into his loving embrace. But again, we have to come to the point where we're saying, okay, Lord, show me where I need to focus my effort. Let me see it. Let me understand it. God, this morning, let me see my test of faith, God, not as a point of discouragement, but a point of encouragement. And God, let me approach that test of faith by understanding where I need to be most obedient to you this morning. You see, he called us to be fishers of men. He has commanded us to launch out. He has commanded us to go and to make disciples, all of which will require effort, obedience. We can't get away from it. If we are going to fulfill what he has called us to, if we're going to launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a catch, if our homes are going to be changed, if our neighborhoods are going to be reached, if our community is going to be transformed, it's going to require effort. And I got to be honest with you this morning, it's going to take more effort than the pastoral staff. It's going to take more effort than the volunteers and the Sunday school teachers and the board members. You see, it's going to take effort by all. If you go back and you read, it was a they type situation. Peter wasn't by himself when he let out the net. He was with his crew, and there were partners nearby. You see, it's going to be a group effort this morning. But how many know that a net, if it has a weak place, can't fully function? So as individual weaves and knots, whatever you want to call it, some of us are more like knots than weaves, all right? I'm knotty. We need to be linked together in a way that when we all give effort, when we all act in obedience, we're strengthened. We can draw together, and we're better able to receive that blessing that God is pouring out. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you that, Lord, nothing can ever change what you have called us to and how you have called us to live and function within your kingdom, God, so that we can fulfill your kingdom purpose. God, which we know the end result of that is that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. So God, as we continue, Lord, as we spend the next 7 months of this year, God, let us clearly, God, and very strategically continue to launch out into the deep and to let down our nets. God, regardless of what we have faced over the last 5 months, whether every attempt that we have made has failed, God, let us understand tonight that, Lord, effort is demanded and that our faith may be, even right now, being tested at a degree which we feel like is unfair or maybe too harsh. But God, let us make that simple statement of faith that says, nevertheless, at your word, God, I'm going to do this. And God, let us act in obedience. God, again, not for our own, God, selfish reasons. God, not for any sort of fame or glory personally or for even our church, but God, simply for you, for your son, Jesus Christ. God, that there may be a blessing that is poured out in other people's lives. God, that they may come to know you, experience you in greater ways. God, challenge us this morning. God, let us be strong enough to ask those questions. God, where do I need to put in the effort? How is it that my faith may be being tested right now? And God, how do I need to respond to you in obedience? Father, change us so that the world through us may be changed for your glory. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better moment and opportunity to come and surrender your life to him and allow him to just begin to rearrange who you are and transform you and take you down a path that maybe you never thought you'd ever walk. If that's you this morning, we want to urge you to come.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.